Well, good afternoon or good morning, depending on your time zone. Welcome to this webinar focused on the Advanced Computing Systems and Services solicitation. As you may know, this is a third round in this solicitation, and it aims to really address a critical part of a computational ecosystem, looking at capacity systems as well as innovative test beds and prototypes. This specific solicitation is focused on the test beds aspects and prototype aspects, as you'll learn in this webinar. It's important that we look at emerging technologies, new usage modes, new type of architectures, and make sure that we are evaluating how they can be incorporated into our ecosystem to support emerging application needs. So with that, I will turn it over to the program officers in charge of this program, Robert Chaddock, Edward Walker, and Alejandro Suarez. Over to you.
Thank you, Manish. So my name is Alejandro Suarez, and as Manish said, I'm joined by my colleagues, Ed Walker and Robert Chaddock from the NSF Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, or OAC. And as a reminder, real-time captioning for this webinar is available at the URL presented on this slide, captionedtext.com, and you can put in the confirmation number listed below to get captions for this live captions for this event. So, as Manish said, we're the Cognizant program officers for the solicitation titled Advanced Computing Systems and Services, Adapting to the Rapid Evolution of Science and Engineering Research, also known as NSF 20-606 in this iteration. So in this webinar, we aim to inform the national research cyber infrastructure community about this program's competition. We will begin by clarifying changes, namely the deadline and the scope of projects that we're aiming to bring in from the previous solicitation, which was titled NSF 19-587. We're then going to describe what this current solicitation is about, covering some of the most important things you need to know about submitting a proposal. Following this, we'll provide answers to frequently asked questions and provide some time for questions from you all in the audience. At any time during this webinar, you can submit questions to us via the Q&A function. We will hold off on handling those questions until we reach the Q&A portion of the presentation. Our ultimate goal here is to contribute to the community response to solicitation 20-606, including to potentially expand the breadth and response and effectiveness of received proposals. So as a reminder, the slides, audio, and the recording for this presentation will be available on the event page that you first found this event by. On that website, it will be made available via an attachment. So first, some revision notes on what has changed from the previous ACSS solicitation, or NSF 19-587. So the one substantive change made in this current solicitation is that the current solicitation will only accept proposals for resources within Category 2, innovative or prototypes or test beds. The solicitation has been modified to remove references to Category 1. Please note that proposals submitted to Category 1 capacity systems that were defined in NSF 19-587 will be returned without review. This solicitation also is updated with a new deadline date of December 3rd, 2020. And the remainder of the solicitation remains substantively unchanged. So now moving on to some of the solicitation details. The intent of this solicitation is to request proposals from organizations willing to serve as service providers, or SPs, within the NSF Innovative High Performance Computing Program. These SPs will provide advanced cyber infrastructure capabilities and/or services in production operations to support the full range of computational and data-intensive research across all of science and engineering. As discussed in our revision notes, We're looking at just category two, innovative prototypes or test beds for resources in response to this solicitation. So what are category two resources? Category two proposals are expected to be for resources initially deployed as prototype or test bed systems, supporting SME research through the delivery of novel forward-looking capabilities and services. Such resources can deploy new technologies, system architectures, usage modalities, et cetera, to enable clearly defined classes of SME applications. Importantly, even given the testbed nature of this category, proposals should present a clear near-term plan for transitioning to high availability production services broadly available and allocatable to the SME community during the final 24 months of the project award period. Please consult the solicitation text for further requirements of category two system proposals. So the guiding principles of this program are outlined as follows. NSF is interested in increasing the nation's capacity for transformative S&E discoveries, including diversifying and evolving its system acquisition portfolio to take advantage of new technologies and services. This includes capabilities addressing emerging computational and data-intensive S&E research topics, workflows, and communities, while expanding opportunities for participation by a broader range of potential service providers, or SPs. This competition emphasizes the provisioning of an ecosystem of advanced computing resources and services, and is responsible to the dramatic increase in the number and nature of applications using NSF-funded resources. Proposals are requested for advanced CI that will deploy capabilities and services, including possibly composable services, to address and the increase in demand for computation and data analytic resources in the S&E research community, as well as explore novel paradigms for enabling transformative S&E discoveries. The solicitation explicitly focuses on the growing scale and diversity of the S&E community, the changing nature of S&E research requirements, as well as the rapidly evolving CI landscape, with the overarching goal of supporting transformational S&E discoveries. An important aspect of the current solicitation is that funded projects must provide CI capabilities and or services that demonstrate high degrees of stability and usability during the period of production operations available to the S&E community. Note that we expect those production operations and availability to be within the final 24 months of award for category two systems. NSF strongly urges the community to consider expanding the range of possibilities and enabling S&E communities to leverage the power of computation for transformative research and to think broadly about the nature and composition of CI of the CI ecosystem. Such consideration may include, but is not limited to, ease of access to proposed systems or services by new S&E communities, new capabilities that will open up new methods and paradigms for S&E discoveries, federated approaches with opportunities for leveraging and increasing availability and capabilities at the networking edge, including campuses, and composable services, provisioning virtualized on-premise computing infrastructure and possibly commercial cloud services. These guiding principles inform the solicitation-specific review criteria that we will discuss soon. So on to anticipated budget. A total of $10 million is available for the solicitation, subject to the availability of funds. It is anticipated that up to one to two awards in Category 2 add up to $5 million per award for up to 5 years will be made. User support and operating costs are expected to be up to 20% of the acquisition cost per year for each deployed Category 2 system or service for up to 5 years. Should the proposed system or service require additional user and operating funds, an additional up to 5% may be requested, along with very strong justification for such a request. It's worth noting and differentiating acquisition costs versus user support and operation costs. So I want to try to make this clear here. The initial award for this competition, the initial awards are limited to the thresholds identified in the previous slide, namely up to $5 million per award for Category 2. This is for the acquisition of resources. Be advised that acquisition proposals with budgets in excess of the identified maximum thresholds may not be considered appropriate and may be returned without review. I repeat that submitted budgets beyond the thresholds listed may be considered inappropriate, may not be considered appropriate, and may be returned without review. Budget details for user support and operating costs should be discussed in the operations plan section of the project description and the detailed projected operating costs supplementary document as instructed by the solicitation. User support and operating costs should not be included in the budget section of proposals responding to this solicitation. Regarding user support and operating cost thresholds, here's some further clarification. We noted earlier that user support and operating costs of up to 20% or possibly 25% of the acquisition costs per year will be considered. The acquisition costs of the system are defined as the total value of the acquisition award. So this is the total value of the entire acquisition award. Those are the budgets that we discussed in the earlier slide. For example, consider a case where a proposed Category 2 resource requests $5 million for an acquisition. Such a proposal could list up to $1 million or $1.25 million with very strong justification of user support and operating costs per year in the relevant section. Such a budget would come in a future second request for operations and a related operations-related supplementary funds to be submitted after the initial NSF award. We are aware that NSF 20-606 includes possible resources, including services as well as hardware. If you have questions specific to what constitutes acquisition costs versus user support and operating costs, please contact one of us as the Cognizant Program Officers for the solicitation. So who may submit? Institutions of higher education are eligible to submit to this solicitation. Other agencies and federally funded research and development centers, also known as FFRDCs, are also eligible, but only in certain cases. Please contact the appropriate program or program official before preparing any kind of submission in that case. So who may serve as PI? An individual can be a PI or co-PI on no more than one proposal. There is no limit on the number of proposals in which an individual may be associated in other capacities, such as senior personnel. The limit on number of proposals an organization may submit is one. While an organization may only submit one proposal, it may be listed as a subawardee on other proposals responding to this solicitation. This restriction to no more than one submitted proposal as a lead institution is to help ensure that there's appropriate institutional commitment necessary for responsible oversight by the potential awardee institution of a national resource. I know that this includes Category 2 resources as we are asking for in this solicitation. So please note the following constraint on collaborative projects. As listed in the solicitation text, collaborative projects may only be submitted as a single proposal in which a single award is being requested. More information about this can be found in the Policies Proposal Guide, Chapter 2, Section D3A. This involvement of partner organizations should be supported through subawards. Any involvement of the partner organizations should be supported through subawards administered by the submitting organization. This is different from distinct collaborative proposals leading to possible distinct and separate collaborative awards within a project, which is not accepted by this solicitation. So regarding proposal preparation guidance, proposal titles must begin with Category 2. Only personnel directly connected to the project should be listed as collaborators. Note the page limit for the project description section of the proposal is 30 pages. This is higher than the standard 15-page limit for project descriptions. Page limit for budget justification for the lead institution and each potential subawardee institution will be 5 pages. The project description should contain the standard intellectual merit and broader impact sections as required by the PAPPG. In addition, the following sections are required for the solicitation as well, specifically sections on resource specification, S&E application performance, resource reliability and usability, project management and risk mitigation, data infrastructure, security, and an operations plan, in addition to broader impacts. There's also required supplementary documents in addition to what is listed under the standard PAPPG guidance. The standard PAPPG guidance include a data management plan, postdoc mentoring plan, if applicable. The following additional supplementary documents are required for this solicitation. An actual or estimated performance benchmark results must be included as described in section 5.A of the solicitation text. This section should not be used to continue discussion or analysis of the merits of the service provider, vendor or vendors, or the system itself. Such information must remain in the project description of the proposal. Detailed projected operating costs, as described in section V.A of the solicitation text, not to exceed 5 pages. Specifically, this relates to the operations plan described in the project description. Remember that any projected operating costs listed here should not be included in the main budget section of the proposal. Next, a list of all institutions and companies involved in the project, together with their roles within the project at the and the levels of funding. Also requires a plan for user support. This plan should include a description of the anticipated requirements of the S&E research community, a description of how resources will be allocated, and any other operational details likely to have an impact on user access or usage of the proposed system. As with the projected operating costs, this ties in with the operations plan required in the project description. Letters of collaboration from individuals who are described in the project description as involved in the project in a senior capacity, but who are not members of the lead proposing organization or from representatives of institutions or organizations collaborating with the lead institution are allowable as described in PAPPG Chapter 2, Section C.2.D. Note that letters of endorsement should not be included in proposals. Any substantial collaboration with individuals not included in the budget should be described in the facilities, equipment, and other resources section of the proposal as described in PAPPG Chapter 2, Section C.2.I. The main review criteria remain the same NSB-approved intellectual merit and broader impact categories. And in light of those main criteria, reviewers will consider what do the proposers want to do, why do they want to do it, how do they plan to do it, how do they know if they succeed, and what benefits would accrue if the project is successful. These questions apply both to the technical aspect of the proposal, namely the intellectual merit, and the way in which the project may make broader contributions, namely through broader impacts. An assessment of additional sections required in the project description listed here, once again, is included in solicitation-specific review criteria for reviewers of proposals to the solicitation. And we went over these required sections in an earlier slide. So here we wish to lay out what the award process would look like in the case of an awarded system. As the award is prepared, the awardee institution will work with NSF on mutually agreeable project terms and conditions. This includes the preparation of a project execution plan, which will include criteria for eventual acceptance of the completed system. Spending authority on the award will be limited to only necessary administrative work regarding the project. After award, the user support and operating costs, as described in the project description's operations plan and detailed projected operation costs, will be considered via separate supplemental funding request to the award. Approximately 12 months after the award is made, once the system is fully deployed, an acceptance review will take place. In it, the acceptance criteria laid out in the project execution plan will be assessed. Should this review be successful, the remaining authority to spend funds against the award will be released as necessary to cover remaining acquisition costs. A note on schedule, we expect category machines to be deployed by the end of September 2022. Category 2 deployment is defined as when the system is prepared to meet those reliability metrics presented to NSF for acceptance of the resource or service. And this relates to the project execution plan that was discussed in the previous slide. More details about this timeline can be found in Section B, titled Budgetary Information, within the solicitation. The relevant acceptance criteria for an awarded acquisition may be further specified post-award in consultation with the NSF program staff. This again relates to the project execution plan described in the previous slide. So in summary, note that the deadline for this proposal is December 3rd, 2020. Note that we are only accepting Category 2 proposals for this solicitation. Please note the additional requested sections within the project description that are required. Also note the additional requested supplementary documents that are required for submissions. And there are also solicitation-specific review criteria for this competition, mainly involving assessment of the added project description sections. Note the differentiation we made on operating costs and user support versus the cost of the acquisition itself, namely that the acquisition is what is being considered here, and that is what falls under the award value thresholds. So at this time, we are going to begin going through some frequently asked questions, but remember that at any time during this broadcast, you may send questions to us via the Q&A function within Zoom. So to start out, here's an administration-related question we've often received regarding the submission of proposals via the Fastlane or other NSF systems. When filling out the cover sheet to our proposal, what category of proposal should one select? So this question is covered in Section 5, Proposal Preparation and Submission Instructions of NSF 20-606. In short, please select research from the submission categories to minimize any errors from NSF systems in processing your proposal. Regarding user support and operating costs, so this question, the solicitation states that user support and operating costs are expected to be up to 20% of the acquisition costs per year. Does each year of operating expenses constitute 20% of the yearly acquisition costs or 20% of the total acquisition cost? So in this case, the initial acquisition cost is defined as the total value of the acquisition award, irrespective of how a proposer may break it down by year. For example, a Category 2 system with a budgeted total acquisition cost of $5 million could request up to $1 million, or 20%, in user support and operating costs per year, or up to $1.2 or $1.25 million per year, with very strong justification for the request. Regarding user support and operating costs, should anticipated user support and operating costs be incorporated into the budget section of the proposal? So the answer to this is no. NSF 20-606 is considering funding for the acquisition of advanced computing systems and services. As noted in the solicitation, user support and operating costs will be considered and provided as a second action to an awarded cooperative agreement. At this point, such costs should be listed in the relevant supplementary documentation, namely the detailed projected operating costs. So with that, on behalf of the National Science Foundation and the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, we thank you for taking this time to listen to this webinar and learn more about the Advanced Computing Systems and Services solicitation. We will, these slides, as well as the recording and script of this webinar, will be available at the following URL and the program webpage within the coming days. So we're happy to take some questions from the audience at this time. As a reminder, you can use the Q&A function within Zoom. And if you have any further questions that may be more involved, please don't hesitate to contact us at the following addresses listed on this slide. So now we will start going through some of the questions. So give us a moment as we start processing our questions. So we have one question that has come in. If some development work is planned to improve the performance or functionality of an existing software tool that is integral to the proposed resource, must that development work be completed prior to resource acceptance, or is it permissible to accept the resource after testing and demonstrating expected performance from the existing version of the software tool, leaving the development work on improvements to occur in the period of operating support after acceptance and improved and before deployment as a full exceed resource in the final 24 months of the project? So this is a relatively specific question, and I think this connects a bit to the what constitutes a full system acquisition. I will open up the mic to my colleagues, but I believe this is something that you may want to just reach out to us with a bit more specifics about what your project is about. You can reach out to us directly to ensure that we're fully informed of what this might constitute and how to make sure we can respond to you correctly. But I will leave this open. I don't know if Dr. Walker or Dr. Chaddock, if you want to give any comments on this.
No, thank you, Alejandro. And again, thank you for your interest and your question. I would reinforce the aspect that what your question pertains to is a very specific to your own interests and your proposal. The general principle that applies is that anything that is presented in terms of the resource, that is considered and proposed, in category two, be available for review, as Alejandro mentioned, in September of 2022. So basically, the entire capability and resource is anticipated to be reviewed at that time. So consequently, what would be the outcomes of the development effort should also be available at that time as well. But if you have specific nuances that pertain to your project, you're more than welcome to follow up with us further.
Thank you, Robert. I think there was a similar question also sent out saying, can we update the CI as they become available after the entire CI acquisition at no additional cost? I think this mainly comes down to Robert's point in that it is up to the proposer to decide whether they want to, if there's going to be changes or other activities that may facilitate the transition of the resource to production, to a production resource in the latter end of the award, that could be appropriate, noting that September 2022 acceptance review is what needs to be thought of as the acceptance of what would be considered the entire CI acquisition. So if there could be a case made that the entire CI acquisition is accepted at that time, and there could be further on additions at no cost, that is up to the proposer if they wish to put something there, as long as they are able to make the case that there is some definition of a fully functional acquired system within that September 2022 timeframe for acquisition review. There is also a question that came in asking, is there a time limit to set up the CI to make it usable by the community at large beyond early users? This is different than the acceptance test. So I guess I'll bring up the discussion of the requirement that Category 2 systems must be made available to the CI community as an allocatable resource within the final 24 months of the award. Regarding make it usable by a community at large, I think there's many ways to define that. Robert or Edward, I don't know if there's any additional context you wish to provide regarding this kind of question.
No, again, thank you, Alejandro. You are, I mean, the aspect of the intention of the comms intended to be available in production operations, you know, to the S&E community in the final 24 months of the award. So in the context of you know, how you would see yourself potentially reaching that milestone and providing for that transition to, you know, to production operations. But the intent is, you know, is clear that it's available to the S&E research community.
Yes. So in case any of that
follow up on it, if you wish to follow up with additional detailed questions about your specific, you know, circumstance, you know, please feel free to follow up with us.
So again, in case any of that may have been cut off for some of the attendees, it is up to the proposer how they wish to, if, for example, there's some progressive availability of the system to the community at large within the prototype testbed phase, whatever the proposer deems necessary to reach that fully available and allocatable resource requirement and in the final 24 months of the award. But as Robert said, you can contact us with specifics about your case to ensure that things are appropriate. We do have another question asking, does the supplementary document with the list of institutions and level of funding include only acquisition funding? So this may have some nuance specific to the whoever's sending in the question, but as a reminder, this solicitation is for acquisition awards. So it is for the acquisition state of the project. So in that case, if there is some discussion that you are having with institutions involved in the project for the acquisition of the resource, acquisition including hardware or services, that would be required to be listed within the list of institutions and level of funding. And your question may ask if there is for some reason an institution that would only be involved in the operating costs or operation and maintenance of the machine, in which case the actual budget for such a request, that would come in at a later supplementary funding request should an original acquisition award be made. So I think we have gone through at least all of the questions submitted so far. We can make a few more minutes available for folks that if you have any other questions or if any of my colleagues have any additional context they wish to provide regarding some of the questions that have already come in, please feel free. All right, well, if there are no further questions, then I think once again, on behalf of the National Science Foundation and the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, thank you for taking the time to listen to us at this webinar and learn more about the solicitation. Again, if there's anything more specific that you wish to ask us, our contact information is available here. You can find the solicitation at the following link, or you can search for NSF 20-606. And we look forward to having a wide range of interesting proposals for the solicitation.